The hand of the Lord came upon me, and God brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. God led me all around them, and there were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. God said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." And God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" Dry bones in the valley. Now, among those who were carried away to exile was a young man by the name of Ezekiel. This young man who was raised and trained to be a priest of his people. He was a student of the texts of scripture and the law, a student of the motions and the actions and the requirements of priestly duties, and one whose most powerful words come in the form of a spiritual vision. This vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, speak to the one thing that he wanted to convince Israel of. This one thing: that her God had not fallen, and that her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God is as he depicts in the vision, where he saw the vague outline of a person sitting upon a chariot throne engulfed in a cloud, and with priests going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He wanted Israel to understand that her God is as he told them about, when he saw enthroned on wheels, spinning within wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these spinning wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overarching providence and the power of God, and about how Israel was part of God's eternal plans and God's eternal purposes. See, Israel was one wheel ever moving, and now above that was another wheel, and that was the Babylonian wheel, and it was moving. But even above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel and God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Now, maybe you think you have stopped them. Maybe you think you have blocked them. Maybe you can't see the movement, but God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them, and you can't stop them. For scripture tells us that the angels are their guards. And so to Israel, we see in this vision that Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel, a valley of depravity, a valley of disenfranchisement, a valley of hopelessness, a valley of dry bones, a valley of lifelessness. This was in one of the great cities of the ancient time, home to one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, the most beautiful hanging gardens of Babylon. And from this city, even in all of its splendor, the city of Babylon to Israel was a valley. Now, someone might wonder, and if Babylon was such a great and beautiful city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city, it can be one thing to one people or culture, but it may mean one thing to one people and altogether something else, another thing to another people. When white Europeans came to this country and disembarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise. It represented a mountaintop of possibility, a mountaintop of adventure and frontier. But to the enslaved African men and women, when they disembarked upon these shores, America to them was a valley. A valley of slave huts, a valley of slavery and oppression, a valley of sorrow. And so too, even beneath their feet, the American Indians would see this land turn from a mountaintop of plenty to a valley of death, crisscrossed by trails of tears and unimaginable suffering. And so in that way, Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. And in our God consciousness, we come to know that we cannot have people on the mountaintop and in the valley. That through the eyes of God, we see that there are not two humanities, but just one humanity. And that as long as one humanity exists in a valley of sorrow and of suffering and of death and of dry bones, so all of humanity is encircled by that valley of dry bones. We cannot separate ourselves off from the valley of pain and suffering that humanity experiences. We cannot separate ourselves off from the pain and the dryness and the hopelessness of the valley. But the problem of one part of humanity is the problem for all parts of humanity. Well, now, the prophet tells us, and so the prophet Ezekiel, he's a prophet. But what is a prophet anyway? Well, the prophet is God's representative to the people, God's ambassador, God's sentry, God's eyes and mouth and voice there to the people. And so Ezekiel was that representative to the people there in Babylon. And at times, this word prophet, it can be interchanged with the word preacher. And preacher can be interchanged with the word prophet. And a preacher at times ought to be a prophet, and a prophet ought to be a preacher. Now, this isn't the kind of prophet who's going to read your palms or sell you luck or do some mentalist cold reading, nothing like that. That's not the kind of prophet I mean. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called by God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent by God. A prophet inspired by God. For a prophet is one who, a prophet knows the past. A prophet is one who understands the present. And out of this knowledge of the past and their insight into the present, they're able to predict the outlines of the future. A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, they look on things. And with insight, they look into things. And with foresight, they look beyond things. Such a man was this Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. For you see, this valley suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her on every side. This was her situation in Babylon. There were economic mountains, and social mountains, and political mountains, and religious mountains. These mountains encircling and enclosing her in. And she was down there in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. And so Ezekiel says that he was there in the spirit. And he says that in the spirit to give some validity to it. And it's part of that spiritual consciousness. And we aren't as familiar with that spiritual consciousness anymore in the church. We more have this spiritual skepticism. When somebody starts talking about the Spirit told me, I'm is in the Spirit, we get wondering and questioning. But this was a spiritually conscious people and a spiritually conscious prophet. And when he says, I was in the Spirit, it is giving validity to his words. And so this prophet, while being in the spirit, says that the Lord led him out to the valley and then led him down into the midst of the valley and sat him down in the midst of it. And what he was really saying in this is that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and Israel's situation in Babylon. That's what he's saying. That God took him for a thoroughgoing survey and a slow, full analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem and set him down there, well then, for fear that way out on the periphery of things that he might have missed something, the Lord leads him up and around the valley now. Took him around the valley, encompassed the valley, circled the valley on all sides so that he might not miss the remotest segment of the problem of Israel's situation. And when this survey was finally full and complete, the Lord puts a question to the prophet. Mortal, God says, mortal, can these bones live? That address mortal reminds Ezekiel in a word of humanity's limitations. Reminds him in a word of humanity's finitude, of humanity's mortality, of his own humanity. And the word that is translated in our scriptures as mortal in Hebrew is son of man. You know, somebody else took that name, son of man. Took on this limitation, took on this mortality. Someone else encircled the vast problems of human existence and sat down in the middle of them. I'm talking about Jesus now. But we're not there just yet. We're back in the valley with Ezekiel. Son of man, you are a scholar. You are a lawyer. You are an educator. Son of man, you are a scientist. Can these bones live? Son of man, you are an engineer. Can these bones live? Son of man, you are a heart specialist. Son of man, you are an anthropologist. You are a geologist. You are a botanist. You are a specialist in all the facets and phases of the human body and the human mind and the human heart and the human soul and human knowledge. You are a psychologist. You are a psychiatrist. You know all about the drives and the reactions and the responses and the tendencies of the human heart. I want to know, with all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Son of man, you found pathways in the air. You have circumnavigated the earth. You have gone to the moon. Son of man, you found highways upon the sea. You made your own highways under the sea. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Put to that question, Ezekiel the prophet had to give up. He had to admit his ignorance. The prophet had to admit that he didn't know the answer to the secret of life. Oh, we know a lot of things. We know what the human problems are. We know the people are mean. We know that humanity can't seem to help but be prejudiced. We know that people are narrow-minded. We know that they are selfish. We know that humanity can be unkind and ruthless and cruel. We know that we don't care enough about the future of the planet to change our ways to avert climate catastrophe. We know that we don't care enough about the health of others to wear our masks properly during a global pandemic. We know that we are swayed by arguments of fear and of hatred. We know that we are capable of murder and full of all kinds of sin. We know what we are capable of But what we don't know is what to do about it. Now, we know what the problem is. We've made an analysis of it. We've already diagnosed the disease. But what we can't do is write a prescription. And so that the prophet has to say here, Lord God, you know. Lord, you know. When it comes to the answer of many of life's perplexing problems, when it comes to a solution to these problems, Lord, you know. I submit myself before you. Limited, finite, ignorant, helpless, like dry bones in a valley. And you know, you, God, have the answer. You know the one thing that will do it. You know, the one thing about God is that when we go to God sincerely, when we have been overwhelmed by some problem we aren't able to grapple with and put it at God's feet, ultimately, if we have faith, God will give us the answer. God will work it out for us. And Ezekiel declared that he didn't know. And it was in the hands of God to give him the answer. Now, the Lord, after Ezekiel had surveyed and had gotten the full understanding of what the Babylonian problem was, the Lord said to him, you go out, if you want the answer, you go out and you preach to those dry bones. Well, Lord, it looks like a helpless thing. It looks like an unprofitable activity to go out and to preach to dry bones. Ezekiel must have said, some of the living souls that I preach to, they don't respond to me. What can I expect from dry bones? But the Lord said, go out and preach anyhow. Now, you know, God's ways are above human ways. You can't always understand why God orders you to do certain things. But if the Lord orders you, you better go on and do it anyhow. Now, while you may not see it, while you may not know what you're doing, God has it worked out. You know? And that man Ezekiel went out into that valley of dry bones. And he stood there and he preached to those dry bones. Now the Lord had given him a word to preach on. Lord, what can I preach to these dry bones about? Lord, what kind of subject, what kind of text can I use? What message can I bring? And God said, just go out there and use this word. Tell those dry bones to hear the word of the Lord. To hear the word of the Lord. I'm sure it must have been discouraging sometimes for Ezekiel to stand there day and night out in the valley and preach to that valley of dry bones. To preach in that valley of helplessness. And in that valley of lifelessness. And in that valley of hopelessness. To stand and to preach and not be able to see what the result would be. But he preached on anyhow. And then one morning, the valley began to rumble. One morning, the valley began to shake. And there was a mighty moving around. And then one morning when he looked out to observe this rumbling, he saw those dry bones in motion. The foot bone was searching out the ankle bone. And the ankle bone was moving towards the knee bone. And the knee bone was connecting with the thigh bone. And the thigh bone was moving up towards the hip bone. And the hip bone was standing up with the backbone. And the backbone was joining on with the shoulder bone. And the shoulder bone was tying in with the arm bone. And the neck bone. And the neck bone was tying into the head bone. And the prophet just kept on preaching. Just kept on preaching. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And God said, now wait a minute. I want you to preach on a new thing. I want you just to wait a little while. Let me take some matter from the universe. Let me bring some order to that matter and order it to come together and to form some human anatomy. And let flesh begin to cover those bones. Let skin begin to cover these skeletons. But Lord, now all we have here are corpses just lying on the ground. I'll turn now, preacher, and preach to the wind. Tell the wind that God wants the wind to blow, and to blow breath into these bodies. Tell the bones, hear my word. And that's my answer today. That's my solution today. To every problem that we have is to hear God's word. To hear God's word. It's all right to go to the White House, to go to the Congress, to go to the legislature, to go to the law house, to go to the business executives, to go to the scientists, to go to the scholars, to get the analysis. But I tell you what you had better do if you want an answer. Hear God's word. God's word is a bridge over troubled waters. God's word is a lamp to your stumbling feet. God's word will bring peace into every confusion. God's word will bring order to every disorder. God's word will raise you up. God's word. So God's word must be our answer. God's word must still be our answer. Because heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will always stand. Will always stand. Now we got to try and live on this word. And one of these mornings, when trials are over, when our troubles are ended, and we get on to that bright land, I want God's word right there too. Let God's word to be shaped like a vessel, and let my soul step over. I heard God's word down in my heart. I'm counting on God's word. I'm waiting on God's word. God's word will raise me up. God's word will raise you up. Hear that word and rise up this Lent. Rise up today as you mark those ashes on your head. Mark the word of God on your forehead and rise up and learn to step to the word. Learn to rise. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen.